Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucchetti here, as always, joined by El Diablo, Carter Augustine. What's up, Carter? How are you, man?
What's up, Nate? Doing well.
So we've got a busy show today. Sporting Kansas City are in first place in the Western Conference, level atop the standings, I guess we would say, with the Vancouver Whitecaps, both teams 3-1-1 on the year. 10 points out of Sporting KC's first five games. I think that's a pretty good start, including a 1-0 victory over DC United this past Saturday. First clean sheet of the year for SKC. Of course, coming up on the next hour of this show, we will break it down for you. We'll talk about that game. We will talk with one of the defenders who helped keep that clean sheet, Aiko Parry. He was named to the MLS Audi Team of the Week, along with his teammate Elie. We'll give you some of the statistics on those two guys and what made their performances so impressive on Saturday. We will also hear from a man who was larger than life and announced his presence in MLS like only he could, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. We're going to play a little sound from him after his epic performance in his LA Galaxy debut this past weekend, because up next, Sporting Kansas City at the LA Galaxy at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. We'll also give you the details about how Carter and I will be doing the radio broadcast live from no other pub. So come down and join us. That should be a heck of a watch party and a lot of fun as Sporting KC take on the glitz and glamour of the LA Galaxy on Sunday. Also, tomorrow night, Children's Mercy Park will be alive and well, as Swope Park Rangers will be in action against the Switchbacks of Colorado, and Carter Augustine will be on the call of that, so we'll preview that game as well, plus much more as the show is underway. And let's start with it, Carter. On Saturday, Sporting Kansas City welcome a team that I think is on hard times right now, that is trying to reform and rebuild itself. And Sporting basically took care of business. That's the way I would describe it. A 1-0 victory over DC United.
Yeah, they did. They took care of business. It was a bit of a different game than what we've seen so far this year, wasn't it? They get the early goal, Sporting, and I thought they controlled it throughout. And it's a very professional way to close the game out and get all 3 points in a 1-0. How many times do you see in leagues across the world, the teams near the top of the league, they always find ways to close games out in these 1-0, these tight games like this. So I think it's a good sign that Sporting can win the shootouts, but they also can come back around at home and really just choke the game out at the end stages. And they didn't allow DC United very many chances. I think that's a very good positive to take away from the game. They get their first clean sheet as well. And I don't know about you, but Peter Vermes talked about there being individual mistakes and just uncharacteristic mistakes, we should say, in terms of how this back line has performed over the past couple of years, leading to the goals that have been conceded so far this year. And there were only a few of them in the game against East United, I thought. I don't know about you. Tim Ely had to come up big, you know, once in the first half, once in the second, pretty much is what it seemed to me. And so pretty dominant throughout. I think you're right.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Look, what things we talked about last year when Sporting had the best defensive record in MLS, and Tim Melia and Aiko Parra were on their way to, you know, Player of the Year honors at their respective positions. I think the thing we always said was that Tim Melia is expected to make one big save per game. And if you could get back to that number, I think Sporting Kansas City would have that same type of goal-scoring record. He's been put in positions where some of the saves that he's been expected to make were almost impossible. And that was more of the type of game that we're used to. Now, if there's a negative from the game, it's simply that Sporting Kansas City did fail to convert some chances to really put the game away, and that is a little reminiscent of last year. That game was a lot more 2017 than it was what we've seen so far in 2018. I think the one that's most notable clearly was the opportunity that Gerso had I'm sure he's anxious to get on the score sheet this year. And, you know, he got himself in a great position in the penalty area, was able to touch it around the keeper. Yeah, he was, you know, from a slightly difficult angle, but with a wide open net, I think any MLS player would expect himself to put that one away. And they had some other chances, too. Johnny Russell had a chance or two. Kyrie Shelton had a couple of chances. And they just weren't able to put enough of those shots on frame in this game. And in the end, it didn't matter because they got the defensive shutout. But I felt like they should not just could have, but should have had at least one more.
And you highlighted the reason why is there's those little lapses that they've had this season, especially that if you don't get that second goal and all of a sudden Tim Mealy doesn't make that tackle on the end line, which was a fantastic play, or if he doesn't come rushing off his line to shepherd out a corner late on in the first half, then, you know, it's a 1-1 and all of a sudden you're scrambling again. So yeah, I think it's something that they've shown this year. They're creating really good chances. If you look at the stats in terms of Opta calling them big chances created, they're doing well with that. And the conversion rate has been fantastic this year. Just wasn't there against DC United this past weekend. And this is a DC United team that I think you got to beat them at home. And that's what they went out and they did. This DC team starting the road, 12 of the first 14 games because of the stadium situation, that's not going to help them. I think they're going to be near the bottom of the East. And they have some decent players. You know, Assad and Areola flanking Acosta in attack, that's not too bad. But I didn't see how they were going to play in the game, DC United. They couldn't string more than three or four passes together in the first half and didn't do much better in the second as well.
I will give a big amount of the credit to Sporting Kansas City for that, because the way I envision this SKC team when it's all working well is not many teams will be able to string many passes together against the players, the likes of that midfield trio of Elie, you know, Espinoza and Gutierrez. I thought they were all in prime form until Gutierrez went down with the injury. And the two guys that cover a ton of ground, Elie, who's always in the right place and who was, we mentioned, team of the week. I think he might have had six interceptions in the game. They made it very difficult. I went into it looking on paper that this is the type of game where Sporting Kansas City should just completely overrun DC United in the midfield, and they did so. You're right, there are good pieces. And I think that's one thing you always have to keep in mind. In MLS, there are no terrible teams. The way the league is structured, everybody's got some guys. But it's usually the team that has the organization, that has the entire, you know, collective group working together that has the advantage. And that was certainly the case in this one. And I don't think the DC United came into this game with the idea of stringing a lot of passes together either. I mean, they looked like they were here to try to bunker in and try to frustrate Sporting Kansas City. And if Sporting doesn't get that goal within the first 4 minutes, who knows? Maybe that game plan works a little bit better for them.
Yeah, definitely. The bunkering mentality gets helped out by not conceding so early on, because then you have to get stretched a little bit more. And that's what they started to do in the second half. And we've seen Sporting this year especially, they have the ability to strike so quickly on the counter. They had one counter in the second half that was just fantastic, and it winds up with Johnny Russell, who I think it was saved in the end maybe, or deflected away, shallowly laying it across for him.
Yeah.
And you could see that early goal really...
That one got deflected out for a corner, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so, but that, it was such a flowing counterattack move from a corner, I believe, or a set piece high up the pitch. And so... when you get that early goal and the teams have to come out, especially at home, Sporting has shown that they have a devastating counterattack that can really pick that apart. So getting that early goal really was helpful to Sporting, obviously.
And the early goal is credited to Felipe Gutierrez. I'm not going to argue it. We'll give him five goals on the season. It sounds good to me. He certainly did a lot to earn it in terms of the way he was able to drive himself into the penalty area and put a dangerous ball in low that I think was headed across the six. And the other person I want to credit for on that goal is Kyrie Shelton. I know that he's anxious to get himself on the score sheet. He had a couple of chances where you thought he might get that first goal against Colorado. He had a couple more chances in this one. They weren't as clear cut. They weren't from close range. One was on his left foot. I actually thought he took it relatively well, considering it was on his left foot. Just missed wide of the target. Oh, no, that one was saved. Then he had the header that missed wide of the target as well. But it was his pressure up the field that forced the turnover that led to the goal, and that's something that Peter Vermes talks a lot about, being the part of the job of the number nine in this system.
Yeah, he seems to be finding his feet, doesn't he, in terms of, especially in terms of the press. And I think he's getting better at holding up play, especially in relation to how this team plays. We saw the marvelous back heel in Colorado, so he's added a few assists, or he has that assist, but he's added some good passing to his game as well. And you're right, he looked for a shot on several occasions. Yeah. Looked to get selfish on the edge of the area and try and beat a man one-on-one and rip a shot away. A couple of them were blocked away. So I think he is growing. I think he's growing into the role for sure.
Well, when it comes to Felipe Gutierrez, we, of course, spent a lot of the pregame show on Saturday talking about what a tremendous player he has been for Sporting Kansas City through the first five games now. But he did also exit with an injury. And Johan Kwaze came on for the final 37 minutes and was, I thought, pretty good. And we can talk about that a little bit. But I know Peter Vermes also said today that there's still a little bit of swelling in the area that's been affected by Felipe Gutierrez. So we're going to go ahead and wait and see what they say about that as time goes on. For Felipe Gutierrez, we hope that he's available on Sunday when Sporting Kansas City take on the LA Galaxy. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Ike Opara, as he is on the MLS Team of the Week, along with Elie, as Sporting KC get the 1-0 victory. They've got three wins on the season now. They're tied atop the Western Conference standings. And we'll talk with Ike on the heels of that clean sheet next. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for Sporting Kansas City Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati along with El Jefe Carter Augustine. And we are joined by MLS Defender and MLS Team of the Week member Ike Opara, coming off also a very successful bobblehead launch as well. Good evening, Ike. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Doing okay. I guess that's the first thing. Most importantly, what did you think of the I mean, not all of us are, you know, big time enough to get our own bobblehead, and it's been years since Sporting Kansas City, you know, was brave enough to go back into the bobblehead world, and they chose you. So to have your own bobblehead, what did you think of the likeness? What do you make of the statue, and what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think now I can hopefully hear the end of the Ike Bikes for the time being. And then the likeness, it's funny because I think in some ways it kind of looks like me, but honestly, it looks like a version of Damon Wayans, more than me. So, pretty good effort, I think, regardless. I think at the end of the day, it's the thought that counts, and it's weird to think that I have a bobblehead, you know, after an action that I've done in the past, and one that will now be placed in, you know, places around me, in my home, or when I go into my dad's office, he has one there now, and, you know, just all of the above. So it's kind of weird to think about, without a doubt.
Did you just compare your? Did you just basically try to say that you look like Damon Wayans? Was that what you were going for there?
I would have to say that because he's older than me. But the bobblehead in itself looks like Damon Wayans. I myself do not look like Damon Wayans. I get a mix of Kevin Garnett and Michael Jordan. If he takes when I get those, but that's oftentimes what I hear.
All right. Did you get, like you said, your dad has one in his office now. Did you get like a whole bunch of people from back home like hitting you up saying, hey, man, can you grab me a bobblehead?
Yeah. So, you know, they you know, the Sporting was kind enough to give me 24 of them. And so at first I was concerned because I really didn't know who I would be giving these to. And if I could get rid of them fast enough, it's kind of weird to have 24 of your own bobbleheads in your own place. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll just put one in each room and, you know, just have random places and just really make it creepy in my own household. But my parents came to town for the weekend, and family friends came in town, so they grabbed a few that, you know, they'll be able to take it back to, you know, some friends I have in my hometown that, you know, wanted some. And so then, I got text messages and, you know, direct messages from friends all over the place. So getting rid of them actually won't be a problem. I actually was a little worried, like I said, but I can get rid of these pretty quickly if I want. So
I do kind of like the idea of just like an army of Ike bobblehead dolls in your place, though. You know, just freak people out when they walk in, you know?
Yeah, the creepy cat lady, just a creepy bobblehead man of myself. It's really vain and cynical at the same time. So, I was going to stay away from that.
Okay, if there's one human being who's got an entire army of statues of himself in his... In his residence, it's got to be Zlatan Ibrahimovic, right? Like, he would be the guy that would have statues of himself everywhere in his own house. And you're going to play him this weekend, man. I mean, this is the hype. I mean, he announced his presence in MLS like only Zlatan could last weekend. And you and Mac, basically, if he comes in the game, assuming he doesn't start, but if he comes in the game, you guys get to mark him. Tell me your thoughts, man. What do you think of this?
I mean, he's got my attention. Honestly, you know, they've got a pretty potent attack now, and, you know, I think they're going to get better as the year goes on. So, you know, I'm not sure who's going to be playing for them with, you know, some injuries that they have, but really, I'm tired of Ola Kamara scoring on us. So, as much as we want to talk about, you know, Zlatan and all those guys, Ola Kamara's given us some trouble in the past as well. So, really, you can't overlook, you know, what they have and on their team and the personnel that they have. And obviously they just got better with their addition of Zlatan.
Yeah, you bring up Ola Kamara, and we saw when Zlatan came on in this past weekend's game, they played those two up top. Obviously, they were chasing a couple goals in the game, and they needed to play the two together. But we don't see a whole lot of two forward tandems anymore, especially in MLS. Is it a bit different going up against two guys up front as opposed to one in terms of you and Matt communicating together?
Yes, absolutely. It's funny because it used to be the formation growing up. It used to be the formation even earlier in MLS days, and then in the last handful of years it shifted to, you know, one forward or underneath guy or whatever the case. So seeing two forwards is kind of dinosaur in a sense. And it actually is a weird adjustment in a strange way because of the spacing, you know, when you have the ball and more so without the ball and the space you have in the cover, with and without the ball, you know, if two forwards are in sync, and you just don't really see it that much, so you don't get to prepare against it as much, it's really troubling for a back line with in a lot of aspects because you're talking about services in the box, you got two forwards. Talking about, you know, fighting for second balls. Well, the forward now has a companion kind of to help him out in that sense. We're talking about layoffs, checking back underneath, communicating with your holding midfield in a completely different way. So it actually makes things a lot more challenging. For them, you know, they were chasing the game, and a team at home when they're chasing the game and pushing numbers forward is very difficult to kind of handle. We went up last year there 2-0, I believe, and they started pushing numbers forward from all angles. And I mean, they get super high and super aggressive when they're down at home. Probably one of the most aggressive teams when in terms of chasing a game in our league. So it makes it pretty difficult to defend them at times.
And we're visiting with Ike Opara. And like you said, Ike, we don't need to just focus on Zlatan Ibrahimovic when it comes to the actual matchup. We know that the LA Galaxy are much more than that. And look, they got all kinds of high-priced, big-name players all over the place anyway. But I do just want to ask you about the phenomenon that is Zlatan from an MLS perspective because, I mean, this is the kind of thing, this is the kind of larger-than-life personality that gets people even outside of the normal realm of MLS talking. Like, you know, I'm listening to people on ESPN that don't normally talk MLS. They're talking about Zlatan. And as a guy that you spent your career in this league, you've seen it grow and develop. What do you think? I mean, do you appreciate when a guy like this comes in and creates a little extra buzz? I don't know. What are your thoughts on just having a guy like Zlatan in the league now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's obviously really good for our league. And you saw just – on the short, and hopefully that continues, is that, you know, he cares. Because with his personality and what he can bring to the table, reports, and I've seen, you know, things on social media where people were traveling around the world overhearing, you know, just, you know, civilians in their native country talking about the Zlatan goal. Just that in itself is recognition. It's kind of what the league wants. From a marketing and a, you know, brand perspective, it's great. At the same time, you know, it's a little frustrating because it always seems to be LA. It seems to be the big teams, and I get it, it's the market, and I get it. You know, it is what it is. And, you know, teams like LA, only Zlatan would accept the contract he got with LA, pretty much. And so that's where, you know, they have the benefit of their market and whatnot. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. You get a chance to play against a good player and compete, and ultimately try to grow this league and game the way it can be and should be grown in this country.
See, but I think that what you just said right there, for me as a guy born and raised in Kansas City, that makes me love this matchup that we're going to see on Sunday between you guys and them, because I feel like the teams kind of embody what the cities are about. You know, Kansas City's, you know, we're flyover country. We're barbecue. We're steak without the sizzle. You know, we're substance over style. We maybe don't have, quote unquote, the superstars, but we have really good, hardworking players. And when we work as a team, we can be better than L.A. And you get to go take on the glitz and glamour of L.A. and the superstars. Do you guys as a team feel that way? I mean, do you think it's that kind of matchup when you look at it?
Yeah, I think most of the teams, especially in this league, you know, there are a bunch of teams in big markets. So we're one of those teams that adds into our motivation. You know, I think in a perfect world, and I'm going to say this and be completely honest and truthful in what I believe, I bet the league would want an L.A., New York, you know, matchup every year if they could in the final. You know, a big market versus a big market team in the final. And the fact that, you know, we've been able to sustain kind of what we've done and put ourselves in good positions and, you know, win trophies and all across the board in different competitions, I think speaks a lot to, you know, our ownership group, what we do, the staff and the players that they brought in. And so that always adds a little bit extra to it with, you know, being in Kansas City. So, you know, we and us players, we take on the pride and we take on the feel of the city. I think, you know, it's no secret that we're involved in our community here. So we try to embody kind of what Kansas City is all about. We show that, you know, on the field as well. So it'll be a matchup. And you know, we'll see, you know, who comes out on top. And the great thing about it is we play them early this year, and, you know, we'll get to play them later in the year where, you know, maybe more teams and the roles are defined and form is closer to 100%. So it's going to be a matchup in a lot of sense that we'll be able to test kind of where both squads are at.
I can attest to that later in the year. I think the Zlatan effect goes all the way through all my friends asking for tickets to a game in October now just because he's coming in the league. Well, Ike, you head into that matchup this weekend off the back of the first clean sheet of the season last week against DC United. What did you make of your guys' performance and the ability to get that early goal, and then that wound up being the only goal in the game?
Yeah, no, it was obviously really good for us to start off on the front foot. You know, I think the weekend before we started off obviously really slow and slower than we would have liked. And so the return kind of that mindset, which is what we set out to do all week, which was get a clean sheet and come out really guns blazing, and we did both of those. So we really hit two of our main objectives in the game. And now we should have had, you know, another one or two, but, you know, it is what it is. We were able to do what we needed to do, get 3 points and get out of there. You know, and I think defensive wise, it was really good comparatively to kind of what we had done, obviously, in the first few games of the year. And actually, after that, the Rapids game at halftime, you know, Bees and I discussed, you know, a couple of things that we wanted to change. And I think it's worked wonders in the last three halves that we've played. It's been, you know, it's come to fruition so far. And the way I look at it is we haven't been scored on, you know, 170-ish minutes. So we're looking to carry that momentum. We're getting back to kind of who we are. And, you know, hopefully we can keep the goals coming.
Is there anything you can share about adjustments you guys have made that have led to these 170 minutes? Or is that very much in between the back line?
I won't get too deep into it, obviously, but this is kind of what we want to do when the ball is in wide areas, and kind of how we want to go about, you know, dealing with defending in space without the ball more so than with it. So I think those are the two biggest things that we were adjusting to and talking about how we wanted to, you know, make ourselves more comfortable in moments where, you know, teams were capitalizing and it felt like we weren't really putting up much of a fight. And that's the thing is, you know, you saw how well we've worked some goals this year. And the goals that we were giving up, teams weren't working for them. It was practically us, you know, hand gifting them, you know, a decent amount of them. So it was us, you know, figuring out, you know, what we want to do to make it more difficult on teams, to be honest.
And now, you know, final thought on this, Ike, when you go to L.A., one of the things we always talk about, not only do you have a, you know, a star-studded cast of characters, and they seem very attack-minded, maybe not so much defensive-minded right now in L.A., they also have that big field. What kind of challenges does that bring to the table, you know, for you guys as defenders when you talk about there is a little more wide space that you just talked about?
Yeah, you know, it can work obviously negatively, but positively as well, because we're obviously pretty good at keeping the ball and possession-wise. And so if we're able to do that, you know, that big field for anybody is tough to defend. If we're making the move and chasing them or having them chase us, it could be a long day for them, but at the same time, if we're sloppy with the ball and we're opening up a possession, so much space on that field and they're able to capitalize, and it can be actually a nightmare for us. So it's going to be a challenge, and it's all going to be predicated on what we're able to do as a team. And if we're able to be good with the ball and make our lines tight, you know, we will be able to minimize how many times they get us in space, I believe. And then when it gets in the space, it's about winning your one-on-one duel. So whether that's with, you know, one of the big forwards or if that's one with the tricky, shifty wingers, you know, we're just going to put ourselves in the best position to make plays, I believe.
Ike, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it. Enjoy all those bobbleheads you got.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do.
Good luck in L.A., man.
I appreciate it, you guys.
Thanks, Ike.
That is Ike O'Para. And maybe, I don't know, he's got to do some transmission work there. What that was on, there's kind of a weird noise coming from his car.
Cobblestone Road, maybe. I don't know.
It's something like that. Ike O'Para, MLS Team of the Week, along with Elie as well. Back after this with more of the Sporting KC Show right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The Sporting KC Show continues here on your home for Sporting Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB. And coming up on Sunday at 8 o'clock, we will have live the play-by-play, myself and Carter Augustine, of Sporting Kansas City at the LA Galaxy. It's a game that's nationally televised on Fox Sports 1, and we will be doing the play-by-play live from no other pub. We invite you to come on down. There will be a watch party. There's a fantastic buffet special and drink specials for people that come down to watch the game with us. Look, it's a Sunday night. It's going to be a lot of fun. And there is a pretty big name involved by the name of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who basically took the entire world of American soccer by storm on Saturday of this past weekend when, in the first ever El Tráfico, the LA Galaxy against newly minted LAFC, Zlatan, who had just joined the team a couple of days earlier, was inserted into the game with his team down. I think it was 3-1 by the time he came in. They were down 3-0. They pulled one back, down 3-1. He comes in. LA scores a goal to make it 3-2. And then I believe on his first touch ever, was it? Do we know for officially if it was his first touch? It was something like that. The ball comes bouncing to Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who had already taken out a full-page ad in the LA Times that said simply, "Los Angeles, you're welcome." He backed it up, and the ball bounces to him 45 to 50 yards away from goal. He looks up, sees the keeper inexplicably 20 yards from goal, and fires a laser-like volley that bent a good 20 yards from side to side and right into the back of the net. This was not a chip. This was a blast with side spin on it. It was expertly taken like only Zlatan can. The game was tied. He took his shirt off. He ran down the field showing his tattoos everywhere. The place went crazy, and he wasn't done. He scored again in stoppage time. I think there is a strong case to be made that he was offside, but I don't think that any VAR in the United States was going to overturn that call. And it stood, and LA Galaxy won the game 4-3. And Zlatan is larger than life. And for those in the United States maybe who don't know why or didn't know what the fuss was about, I think they know now.
Yeah. I mean, it had to be, right? It's like the WWE script, really.
Yeah. And he is a WWE. That was, and you know what? I'm glad. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Carter, but that is, I was talking with somebody in the office earlier today about his personality. And you get the sense that he knows he's playing a part when he does that stuff, when he says the things that he says. It's a Ric Flair type thing. He's in character. He's in Zlatan character. I don't know what he's like. Maybe he's really like that even when he's just sitting around talking to a couple of his buddies. But my guess is he knows he's playing a role when he does this braggadocious character that he has become.
Yeah, there's always like a mischievous smile on his. I mean, if we're going to hear some of his press conference after the game, and he pretty much just had this cheeky little smile on throughout his entire press conference, which it helps when you come on down 3-1 and you wind up winning the first LA rivalry game 4-3. So you're going to be smiling regardless. But I agree. I think he has Ric Flair is a good analogy, and he has that to his persona. And I've heard a lot of people, you know, there's fanboys in soccer, just as in any other sport, where in the NBA, Kobe fanboys got known as Kobe stans, and they'd be everywhere on the internet. You say one bad word about Kobe, they come flying. LeBron has them. I've seen a lot from Ronaldo fans. They get angry about how the perception of Ronaldo when he says things like this, when he says very confident, almost cocky stuff about himself, Ronaldo gets the stick for it. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, Zlatan, he can say it, and it is always positive. It always gets spun into a positive reaction. And for me, it's positive. I just love Zlatan. Yeah. I love hearing it.
Yeah. I hate some of the teams he's played for, but I love him.
I just love him. Yeah. And so, like, I feel like I treat other athletes differently as well. I feel like maybe I don't like it as much if it's someone else. But for some reason, you're right. It's just he's got this almost larger than himself caricature that he plays up, and he does it brilliantly. I mean, it's mostly hilarious, and but the problem is he backs it up every single time as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I think the Ric Flair comparison fits too, because people loved Ric Flair, even though everything that he stood for, quote unquote, was like being the bad guy, you know, being the stuff you're taught not to be and all that. But he did it with a style and a flair that was attractive and funny. And you know, I think people got the sense that they were in on it.
Yeah.
Whereas there are certain characters, be it Ronaldo or A-Rod, who there doesn't seem to be that sense of humor about
it.
And it seems to be from a sense of insecurity almost and vanity that is real instead of slightly humorous, you know. We're going to play some sound here from Zlatan after the game. And, you know, the quote that's already made its rounds, you're going to hear it in this when he said, you know, the people were calling for something, so I gave them Zlatan.
Yeah.
The crowd, the media, you'll hear them laughing in the background. I mean, that's how it's received. Mm-hmm. Whereas if Ronaldo said something like that, there'd be almost like an audible groan from the media.
Very much so.
In the audience. By the way, Ronaldo earlier today with a moment that says right there with any type of thing that says Zlatan could dream of with a bicycle, as Real Madrid just dominated Juventus today at Juventus, by the way. But let's let you hear a little bit. If you haven't heard much of Zlatan in the past, this is a little taste of his post-game media conference after his larger-than-life performance in El Trafico on Saturday.
If you look back, every team I came to, first official game I scored. So I said I will not let it down today. I will score also today, and I was just waiting to come in, because when you lose 3-0, the adrenaline is pumping even more, because you wanna be able to do something, help the team, help, especially when they're in a difficult situation, and I just wanted to come in, and then the fans were demanding something, and I gave them Zlatan.
Josh? Yeah, Zlatan. Speaking of the fans' chants, what did you think about the reception that you got on the field? Sold-out game. It's your first game in Major League Soccer. Just your overall perception of the fans and the atmosphere.
I think it was amazing. I mean, from the first step I took in the stadium, inside the stadium, well, it was amazing. All the fans, they were here early. I was also here early. And everywhere I'm going is like happiness, and everybody is like, welcome, welcome, and thank you, and enjoy. And I just try to give back as much as possible, even if I have to focus on the game, obviously. And once I was on the bench, I could feel the support, but not only for me, for the whole team. And just like I said now, before I came in, we won Zlatan, and I gave them Zlatan. So it's easier to play when you have fans pushing you, supporting you, and giving you that little extra you need. And when you have a team that welcomes you in the best way, that they make it more easier for you. And when you... when it goes good, you see the happiness in your teammates and you just want to keep going. So, but I was happy when the game was finished because I don't know if I could play more.
All right, there is Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And I think that what he said there at the very end, Carter, is significant when it comes to this match coming up between Sporting KC and the LA Galaxy. He said he didn't think that the match, it's a good thing the match didn't go on any longer because he didn't have any more to give. He's still working his way back into fitness. And you could tell that he was physically gassed after 20 minutes, which makes me think I just can't see him starting against Sporting Kansas City. You can't start a guy that can only play 20 to 30 minutes in a game. I definitely expect him to come off the bench at some point, though.
Yeah, I would agree. And he's still coming back, like you said, to full fitness. The injury he sustained last year, it's, you know, still somewhat surprised. They heal knee injuries really well nowadays, but still, he gets back relatively quickly. So he's still going to have to find his feet and have him just come over. I think the long sprint with his shirt off may have taken a minute or two off his effort there at the end. But I agree. I think it's probably too soon for him to go from the start, and so. Sporting will have to look towards the bench and see if he's coming on as a super sub. But we talked about it with Ike. This LA team is a team that it should be equipped to handle any team without Zlatan Ibrahimovic. They have a lot of injuries right now, and so maybe right now is a good time to be playing at StubHub in LA. I think they've caught him at the right moment before Zlatan is fully healthy, and still you have guys like Alessandrini and the Dos Santos brothers who are struggling for their fitness as well.
Yeah, didn't play. Those three did not play in the El Trafico matchup on Saturday. Look, Carter, I know you were on the play-by-play. As I can attest that after you score a major goal, like in the media game at Children's Mercy Park, and go on a long run all the way down the field to jump into the cauldron, as I did a few years ago, it takes something out of you. Yeah. I mean, especially a guy that's in peak physical condition, even like myself.
Like yourself.
It took a while for me to recover.
Yeah, that's just tough. You know, the adrenaline might carry you for a little bit, but you got to run. And every fan deserves a look at Nate Bucchetti running throughout the stadium, just like Zlatan.
Yeah, I mean, it's the cross we bear as iconic figures in the world of soccer, myself and Zlatan. I know what you feel. I know what you're feeling, Zlatan. And torn ACL too. A veteran of that myself. So basically, me, Zlatan, aside from the back
like
tattoos,
we're
very similar in many ways. You're making a good point though about the injuries. Also, look, this lost in the glamour of the game. I saw two really poor defensive teams with some very suspect goalkeeping in the El Trafico between both of those teams. And if I'm Sporting Kansas City, I'm going to this game saying, look, they got some big-name players. They do have some injuries. They also have some serious holes defensively that we can exploit with the team that we have.
I think so as well. I mean, this is – Sporting only had two wins away from home last season, and one of them was in L.A. Obviously, it was a very weird year for Los Angeles Galaxy last year. And
shocking goalkeeping on both of those goals last year.
Correct.
They have made a change at goalkeeper, but I don't feel like the change they made is one that tells you, oh, yeah, they've got that all sorted out.
Yeah, he doesn't exactly instill you with confidence either, does he, Bingham? And so
he had a disaster against Sporting last year or the year before. So
when he was with San Jose. So I think you're right. Injuries or not, this is Sporting is playing 2 points per game right now. They're in great form to start the season. They would have seen – not only did LA win this game 4-3, but they were down 3-0 at one stage, and so I think they won't be intimidated at all going into the game. And as Aiko Parra told us, that wide field can also, while it does lend for more crosses and more crossing areas, it lends to keep the ball as well, because if you can hold on to the ball, it's just a much bigger pitch to try and chase Sporting Kansas City down in terms of the LA Galaxy press. So I think Sporting's passing style will suit this game as well.
Yeah, I think what we saw last year was playing on a narrow pitch like the one at NYCFC last year was a detriment to Sporting KC's style. Spreading the field out and using their technical ability on a bigger field plays to their advantage. So I think it's a positive. Should be a really good game. Should be a lot of fun on Sunday night. We hope to see you down at No Other Pub. We'll be calling the game. Maybe have a beer or two with you afterwards, too, if you want. So come down and join us. It should be a lot of fun. No Other Pub, 8 o'clock on Sunday, Sporting KC against the LA Galaxy, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and on Fox Sports 1. Back to wrap things up, we'll talk a little Swope Park Rangers as they've got a match at Children's Mercy Park tomorrow night when we return on the SKC show. And welcome back to the Sporting Kansas City show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati along with Carter Augustine. Again, our thanks to Ico Parra for joining us on the show today as we get ready for Sporting KC and the LA Galaxy at 8 o'clock on Sunday, and a game that will be on Fox Sports 1, and we will be doing the play-by-play right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB live from No Other Pub. We invite you to come down and join us for that big party. And there's also, we had some Champions League action in Europe earlier today with Real Madrid dominating Juventus 3-0 and Bayern Munich getting an away victory as well at Sevilla 2-1. And we've got CONCACAF Champions League on the docket tonight. And a big matchup, Toronto FC hosting Club America at 7 o'clock. That's on Univision Sports. If you don't get that, you can get on the Go 90 app as well. And then tomorrow, it is Red Bull New York visiting Chivas de Guadalajara. These are the semifinals, and there are two MLS teams that I feel like have a decent chance in these games. This should be very intriguing to watch these two matchups.
Should be very intriguing. Really looking forward to these two semifinals. And, you know, it's interesting because the media in Mexico is already looking forward to what would be an historic, huge final between the two biggest clubs there, Chivas and Club America. And so they're already kind of discounting the MLS clubs and looking forward to those two teams playing in the final. And these two teams have the chance to be the first to win this modern incarnation of this tournament. When it went to this Champions League format, it's been all Mexican teams. And someone's got to break the duck eventually, and these two teams are well poised. And I agree with you. I think we've seen that Red Bulls have treated this competition very seriously, and they've played some youngsters early on in the league to try and advance through to this point. So that full credit to them, and I think they'll have a good game plan with Jesse Marsh to try and attack this. But Toronto, you would think this team could play with anyone in this region, and so that's just that the one tonight, Toronto and Club America. That's one that I think could be a very, very tantalizing semifinal.
I'm looking at the forecast in Toronto. Rainy and 37 degrees. Could be worse, to be honest with you, in Toronto this time of year. But that also, I wonder if that could be a factor in favor of the home side.
Could help them.
They're certainly much more accustomed to dealing with the cold than a team from Mexico City would be. So perhaps you look, because when you go down to Club America and you're dealing with the altitude and all of that, that's certainly a home field advantage for them. So hopefully that's a home field advantage for Toronto FC going into this one. And like you said, the one thing I do think that helps is that MLS does have a bit of a forgiving format with the playoffs. You don't need to finish atop your division or conference to have a chance to win the ultimate prize in this league. And I think it affords teams like Toronto and New York Red Bulls, who know they are good teams, to prioritize this competition right now. If they drop a couple of results early in the season, they know they can overcome that and still get themselves into the playoffs in MLS. And they've done so accordingly. So certainly looking forward to that again tonight. 7 o'clock is the TFC versus Club America match. And then tomorrow, Chivas de Guadalajara against New York Red Bulls. That game's at 9 o'clock as that one is down in Mexico. And you can check them both out online on the Go 90 app if you don't have Univision Deportes. As for Sporting Kansas City's B-side, Swope Park Rangers, they're in action at Children's Mercy Park tomorrow night. Carter, you're going to be on the call. Colorado Springs Switchbacks coming to town. Tell me about maybe what you've seen so far from Swope Park Rangers, what you're looking forward to out of this match tomorrow night.
Yeah, looking forward to it out at Children's Mercy Park. So that'll be a nice occasion. I think It's college night, so if you're listening and you got a college ID, $5 tickets, that's not a bad deal.
If I still have my college ID from 1998, do I get anything?
Is that etched in stone? Is that how is that? How did you guys get those back
it's
in
actually,
the day?
That's a big rock, is what it actually is. Yeah, it's. They passed out rocks.
Yeah.
Back
okay.
Then,
that's good. Stonehenge
to hear. University.
If you're past the floppy disk era, I think you might be able to get in with a college ID. If not, I'm pretty sure they're pretty affordable, anyways. And also, there's some pretty sweet Sasquatch koozies.
Oh, nice.
On offer. So if you're one of the first fans. First 500 in the door, you get there. So there's some cool promotions going on along with the game, and it being played at the big park, I think, is going to be really big for the players involved. It's a good start to the season. Obviously, they just lost this past weekend in Las Vegas, and we had talked about what Sporting Kansas City have been trying to avoid when they dominate the ball and giving up a couple of chances on the counter. That's pretty much what happened to Swope. In Las Vegas, they had almost 70% of the ball, but they wound up going down 2-1 to Las Vegas. They won their first two games. Paulo Nakamura now on the sidelines, yeah. So a managerial change. And I think he's being groomed, to move forward in his coaching ambitions. And what a perfect place for him to do that. I think we can expect quite a few sporting players to be involved with this one, with it being at the stadium and in town on a Wednesday before the team even leaves for Los Angeles this weekend. So I haven't confirmed that, but there were several guys that played this past weekend, and I would imagine that there will be some guys playing tomorrow as well. And the Rangers have a 10-game unbeaten streak at home. So this is a team that plays well with the ball, and that's what they've done. Over last season, I think even more so this year, they're trying to get more youth guys involved, more guys from the academy, and really try and build the way that Sporting Kansas City play from top to bottom in this system. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe we'll have some Sporting KC players that show up as well. I know they turn out a lot of times to watch the games.
That's right.
With the schedule working out the way that it has and right by the training complex and everything. I know last year I watched Swope Park Rangers play in that Western Conference final with Elie and his dad came to the game, and they were sitting there watching the entire thing. And so sometimes you might get a chance to glimpse some of the Sporting KC players there supporting their teammates.
Yeah, just as fans in the stands.
Yeah, which is pretty cool stuff. Should be a lot of fun. I'll be there tomorrow night watching and checking it out. So get a chance to see the future a little bit. And I know one of the things that Peter Vermees really likes about Paulo Nakamura, he's always loved Paulo Nakamura, the soccer mind. But he embraces what this club is supposed to be for, which is to prepare guys to play for the first team.
Yeah.
Results are good. You want to see results. But the number one priority is we're going to play the way they're expected to play at the Sporting Kansas City level. And Paulo Nakamura embraces that. And that also makes it, I think, more intriguing to watch them, actually, to see how they fit in.
Yeah, and who better to learn from as well? I mean, I thought he was such a crux of this of this side and the title winning sides that Paulo Nakamura was a part of. He's so soft spoken off the field, but when he's on the pitch, he was just
a lot of bite
to him. And I think that the kids coming through the academy can learn from him. Not only will he have the insight on this particular system and how to play in this system, and the automatics, everything, he'll know the exact details of how to play in this Peter Vermees system. But him being such a great MLS player and a legend in the club, I think will definitely help with stuff on the pitch and off the pitch as well. So I'm looking forward to watching him as a manager this year, not just the players, but watching Paulo on the sidelines.
Should be a lot of fun tomorrow night, Swope Park Rangers against Colorado Springs Switchbacks at Children's Mercy Park, college night. And even if you're an old fart like me, you're still allowed to go to the game.
Oh, definitely.
And have a lot of fun. And, of course, don't forget, no other pub on Sunday for the watch party. Carter and I will be there calling the action as Sporting KC take on Zlatan.
That should be fun.
And the LA Galaxy cannot wait. And we'll see you next week right here on the Sporting Kansas City Show.